Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. This is Carnita Smith with Mission from the Heart Radio, and it has been a day of rejoicing, a day of jubilee, a day of faithfulness, and just a day to be blessed in the Lord. He woke you up this morning. He started you on your way. So what a day to rejoice in the Lord. I'm super excited of looking into part two of this beautiful teaching series, A Set-Apart Life Surrounded by Sin. And we are back again, Minister Lakeisha Richmond and myself, to conclude this teaching series, A Set-Apart Life Surrounded by Sin. I tell you, if you have not listened to the first part of this teaching series, I encourage you to feed your soul and go back to the broadcast and listen to part one. It will do a beautiful thing in your mindset. It's a beautiful question to have asked Minister Lakeisha, what are you willing to sacrifice to live holy? And again, this is the question for today. What are you willing to sacrifice to live holy? Now, keep in mind, a set-apart life surrounded by sin is not really easy for us to do. In God's strength, through His Word, by way of the Holy Spirit, we can do all things through Christ, who gives us the strength. So here again, the question is, what are you willing to sacrifice to live holy? Now we're going to be looking at point two in this teaching series. Last broadcast, point one for the note takers was living sacrifice. And today, point two is renewed mind. Now, of course, keep in mind, come ready with a willingness of heart. Come ready with your Bibles prepared to take notes. And come with your mind stayed on Him. And that's capital H-I-M. So, Minister Lakeisha, if you could give us a welcome of prayer to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as we situate ourselves and prepare ourselves to really to just dig into the scriptures so that we can grow and go in grace.
Amen. Father, we thank You for yet another day You've allowed us to see. We thank You that we had this time to come before Your presence to hear of Your words. Now we ask You to prepare our hearts, our minds, and our souls to receive Your word. Help give us the words to say to Your people, to our sisters and brothers in Christ, on a level where they can understand. We thank You, God, that the understanding will be as easy as 1, 2, 3, as counting 1, 2, 3. We thank You, Lord, that our minds are prepared, our hearts are ready as an altar to receive Your word. And we thank You for this and many other blessings in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I wanted to just do a little review of the point one, just give you an overview of what we talked about on last lesson, which was living sacrifice, which meant anything that is set apart and offered to God. A living sacrifice looks like a person not conforming to the world, but being renewed by the transforming of their mind. So that means not being like or becoming like the world, but being made new spiritually by a change in their mindset to be more like Christ. And we summed it up with these five things. Number one, pay attention, hear good news, which is the word of God. Number two, listen and obey the prophecy, which is the word of God. Number three, study for yourselves and search the scriptures every day. Number four, hide the word of God in your heart so that you may not sin against him. And five, meditate on the word day and night. Those are those five things that we summed up the last point with. And point two today is we're talking about a renewed mind. And I would like to read that scripture, which we're basing the 2 points on, which is coming from Romans 12, 1 and 2. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in the view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God, which is your spiritual worship. Verse 2, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what is God's will, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Amen. Those are the two scriptures we're basing these 2 points on. Now, I would like to define briefly three words, which is conform, transform, and renew. Conform, because we should not conform to any pattern of this world. And that means we should not be like or become like anything of the world in this world. Amen. That means liars, cheaters, stealers, murderers. We should not be taking on those attributes as they are. Amen. So we shouldn't look like them. And transform just means to change. Transform means to change. So transform, we should be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And to renew means to make new spiritually, to make like new, or to restore to existence. Amen. So we have a changed mind. Our mind is not going to be like the world. So we're going to have a new mind spiritually. A new mind is going to be restored to a new existence. Amen. And how do you restore that? It's through the word of God. How do you restore your mind to a new existence? That's through the word of God. We can go to Ephesians 4:17-32. Ephesians 4:17-32. It gives us an example. Amen. I'll read chapter 4:17-32. So I'll read through 22. Sister Smith, if you'll take the 23-32, it would be great. So I'll read starting with 17. So I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do, in the futility of thinking. They are darkened in the understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality and as to indulge in every kind of impurity with a continual lust for more. You, however, did not come to know Christ that way. Surely you heard of him and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires. I wanted to read it in Contemporary English Version. I have the other. I read it in the wrong version. If you give me a minute, okay. I can read it. From 4:17-22. As a follower of the Lord, I order you to stop living like stupid, godless people. Their minds are in the dark, and they are stubborn and ignorant and have missed out on the life that comes from God. They no longer have any feelings about what is right, and they are so greedy that they do all kinds of indecent things. But that isn't what you were taught about Jesus Christ. He is the truth, and you heard about him and learned about him. You were told that your foolish desires will destroy you and that you must give up your old way of life with all its bad habits. Okay.
Amen. So that's, I really enjoy that translation, that contemporary English version, CEV.
Yes.
And I'll,
yes,
I'll continue to read verses 23 through 32.
Yes.
And then, and you'll come back behind me and read it in, continue to read in that particular translation, the CEV.
Okay. Okay.
Starting at verse 23 in the NIV. To be made new in the attitude of your mind, of the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. And do not give the devil a foothold.
Mm-hmm.
He who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work during doing something useful with his own hands, that he may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Verse 30, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. Verse 32, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you.
Now, verse 23 from the Contemporary English Version states, let the Spirit change your way of thinking and make you into a new person. You were created to be like God, and so you must please him and be truly holy. We are part of the same body. Stop lying and start telling each other the truth. Don't get so angry that you sin. Don't go to bed angry, and don't give the devil a chance. If you are a thief, quit stealing. Be honest and work hard so you will have something to give to people in need. Stop all your dirty talk. Say the right thing at the right time and help others by what you say. Don't make God's Spirit sad. The Spirit makes you sure that someday you will be free from your sins. Stop being bitter and angry and mad at others. Don't yell at one another or curse each other or ever be rude. Instead, be kind and merciful and forgive others just as God forgave you because of Christ. And in these scriptures, it's very simple. I mean, it's very simple to tell the old to be conformed like the world. The world looks like verses 28-29. It says if you're a thief, so the world is a thief. The new if you're conforming to the world, you'll be a thief. If you're not conforming, you're renewed, you'll be honest. You won't be a thief. And dirty talking, that's what the world looks like. Bitter, in verse 31, that's what the world will look like. Angry, being mad at others, yelling at one another, cursing each other out, and being rude. So it said, instead, if you have a renewed mind, your mindset, you will be kind, you'll be merciful, you will forgive others just like God forgave us. Amen? So that's the difference in what the world looks like and what we as Christians will look like. Amen? Now if we can go to 2 Corinthians 10, chapter 10. One through five. 2 Corinthians 10, verses 1 through 5. Okay. And I'll read it from the first version.
Go right ahead.
10 and 10, 1 through 5. Okay. And it reads as follows. Do you think I am a coward when I am with you, and brave when I am far away? Well, I ask you to listen, because Christ himself is humble and gentle. Some people have said that we act like the people of this world. So when I arrive, I expect I will have to be firm and forceful in what I say to them. Please don't make me treat you that way. We live in this world, but we do not act like its people or fight our battles with weapons of this world. Instead, we use God's power that can destroy fortresses. We destroy arguments and every bit of pride that keeps anyone from knowing God. We capture people's thoughts and make them obey Christ. Amen. Do you want to read it from your version, Sister Smith?
Amen. So this is the NIV, and this is 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 through 5. And it reads this way: by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, I appeal to you, I, Paul, who am timid when face to face with you, but bold when away. I beg you that when I come, I may not have to be as bold as I expect to be toward some people who think that we live by the standards of the world. Verse 3, for though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. Verse 5, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. And this just what really stands out to me is, and I hope it stood out to you as we read through these verses, is where it states in verse 2, Paul explaining, urging the church of Corinth to understand that in verse 3, for though we live in this world, we do not wage war as the world does. And in verse 2, we back up, and he says, I expect to be toward as we or they think I am, but he's explaining to them that we need to have a standard, and the standard of living, and not the standard of living in the world as the world lives. And we as believers in Christ Jesus, who are supposed to be holy and set apart, that's the standard of life that we are to take hold of, to grab hold of and not to be pulled or led astray by what the world does or how the world thinks. And this is Paul petitioning to the believers in the church of Corinth that we do not do with what they do. We don't live the way they live. We shouldn't be thinking in the manner that they think. Why? Because we serve a God who is high on the throne in heaven. We serve a king named Jesus who died on the cross. And we have filled with the Holy Spirit who lives within inside of us to lead us and guide us. And we don't grieve the Holy Spirit as we've read in Scripture. So the mindset that we are to have is to be in a world, yes, but not be of the world, no. Because, again, this is not our home.
Right.
So I see Paul petitioning to the people, to the saints, to the believers, to the body of Christ, that we don't fight with guns, we don't fight with weapons in a sense, but our fight is by faith, through prayer, that God go before us and we stand firm in the face of the enemy. And we say, as Jesus said, when Satan came to him in the wilderness, and Jesus said, "For it is written," and that's the weapon that we fight with, the Word of God. So this is a really good passage and very meaty. It has a lot of richness in this, Ephesians as well as 2 Corinthians, as we've read thus far. But it shows how we are to have a mind that is opposite of what the world thinks or how they think. And again, we are to be lights in a dark place. And this world is very dark right now. And for it to be appearing as though it's going to hell in a handbasket. But for those of us who call ourselves believers in Christ Jesus, who have confessed with their mouth that you are now a regenerated, born-again believer in Christ Jesus, then we stand and defend our faith, and we live as children of light. But the mind has to be renewed. So, amen.
Amen. And before we go to John, there's another scripture in Colossians 3, 1 and 2. It says, "Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God." Verse 2 says, "Set your minds on the things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory." And it just gives us, again, what the world looks like. In verse 5, it tells us, "Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived. But now you must rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices, and you have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God," this verse 12, "therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you, and over all these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Amen.
Amen.
And that just shows, and that shows the opposite, what the world looks like, and then what we as Christians look like. So it breaks it down for us right there. As we turn to John chapter 4, I'm going to talk a little bit about the woman at the well. And how she had a renewed mind. Amen. Now I'm going to start with verse 7. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone in town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his flocks and herds?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give will never thirst again. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water, welling up eternal life." And that sounds like Jesus, the salesman right there. He said, just one drink, just one drink of the water that he gives, and you will never thirst again. The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." So she's thinking naturally, and Jesus is talking spiritually. So he told her, "Go, call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she replied. Jesus said to her, "You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true." "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you are a prophet. Our fathers worship on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where you must worship is in Jerusalem." Sister Smith, will you read 21 through 30?
Sure. Jesus declared, "Believe me, woman, a time is coming when you will worship the Father, neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth." The woman said, "I know that Messiah, called Christ, is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us." Then Jesus declared, "I who speak to you am he." Just then, his disciples returned and were surprised to find him talking with a woman. But no one asked, "What do you want?" or "Why are you talking with her?" Then leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, verse 29, "Come, see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Christ? Verse 30, they came out to the town and made their way toward him.
Amen. So the Samaritan woman became a witness. And we see that she asked Jesus in verse 11, where can I get this living water? But she was thinking when she asked for the water that he was talking about the natural water when he was talking about the spiritual water. And we see that Jesus answered her and said, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty, which is talking about the well water. But whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst again, talking about spiritual water. And he says that he will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. And then Jesus continues to talk with the Samaritan woman and tells her to go call her husband. And she's saying she has no husband, but she has had five husbands. So he knows that she's had husbands in the past, but the one she was with at that time was not her husband. Now, how many of us can relate to having a husband or two husbands being divorced and God coming and renewing our life with something spiritually, whether it's a new mate, drawing closer to him, not having anything in the way blocking from our spiritual walk with God. Not that a husband would do that, but some people put their husbands, their family, money, and other things like that ahead of God or before God, and then they lose sight of God and they don't develop that personal relationship with him. Amen. Sister Smith, you have anything to add to these scriptures?
Yes, and you're right, because we do have tendencies to put several things in our life before God. And he should always be first place in our heart and in our thinking, in our mindset. And then as we live a holy life, then that should exemplify who we believe in, what we stand for, and how we live out a changed life, a born-again life, thirsting after Christ, thirsting after God himself, the Word of God. And this is what Jesus was explaining to the woman. I have been that very woman, thirsting after love and looking for love in all the wrong places, and it led to so many wrong choices in my life. And here again, I knew that there was a God, but I did not understand how to love God, how to be in presence with him. And so it led me to a lot of wrong choices, but what I chose in the flesh or in my life that I thought was right, it took that relationship with Christ Jesus for me to understand that even though you were looking for love in all the wrong places, I am your one true love. And capital I, am the one that you fall in love with. And once I got that into perspective, then that's when my life totally changed. My mindset changed. The way I thought about life, others, and the way I was living changed. And we see this in the woman as she petitioned to others in verse 29, come and see a man who told me everything I ever did. Now, who could do that? Nobody but God. He can show us in the rearview mirror. He can show us in the mirror that we face when we wake up in the morning, and he can show us a mirror future, and that means eternal mirror. Why? Because we accepted Christ as our Lord and Savior. We're filled with the Holy Spirit, and his promises are true, true to eternal or eternity. And this is the God we serve. This is who we fall in love with. This is who we dance and sing and rejoice to. And this is what Jesus was explaining to her. This kind of water, woman, when you drink, you will not thirst anymore. So it took that transformation, just as Paul had to be transformed, just as we've seen in the scriptures read earlier, that the renewing of our minds will breathe, will exemplify a transformed life.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I wanted to give five steps to renewing your mind. Five steps to renewing your mind. Number one, we read verse 12 in Romans 12 and 2. And the first point is ask the Lord to guard and direct your mind. It's Romans 12 and 2. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So if you could start off just by asking God, just a simple prayer in the morning, Lord, help guide my thought, guide and direct my mind. So when you begin to think negatively, God will give you something positive to get rid of that negative thought. So ask the Lord to guard and direct your mind. That's Romans 12 and 2. Recognize the source of self-focus and self-defeating thoughts. So you have to, first of all, if you don't recognize that you have these self-defeating thoughts, they'll just be a pattern, and you'll just be accustomed to saying doubtful things all the time. And if you don't recognize those doubtful things, you can't correct it. So if you ask God to help you to recognize the source of the self-focus and self-defeating thoughts, or even the things that you say, then that way, once you recognize them, you know how to go to the scripture and get a scripture to be the opposite of that negative thing. Then you can replace the self-focused thinking with a God-focused mindset. And we read Colossians 1 and 2, Colossians 3, 1 and 2. If we can go there. This is replacing the self-focused thinking with a God-focused mindset. And that is Colossians 3, 1 and 2. And we read, since then you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on the things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on the things above, not only earthly things. And also, you may be saying, what are the godly things? What can we think on? And if you go to Philippians 4 and 8, it tells us what we should think on. Philippians 4 and 8. And it tells you, finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about these things. Amen. And then I have one more scripture, Romans 8 and 5. This is what a renewed mind, this are the steps to renewing your mind. Romans 8 and 5. Romans 8 and 5 says, those who live according to the sinful nature have their mind set on what that nature does. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of a sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law. nor can it do so. Those controlled by sinful nature cannot please God. You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit. If the Spirit of God lives in you, and if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And that just basically means, it can be a simple thing that if you're a person that gets upset and you curse, it can be simple as after you've confessed Christ and become a Christian, you may get upset, but before you curse, you'll be mindful of, well, that's not the right way to handle this because God's Spirit lives in you, so He'll prompt you not to say that or prompt you of something different to say. Sister Smith, do you have anything else to add?
No, you're right, and that's the work of the Holy Spirit. It's to guide us.
Yes.
It's to direct us, and He's to build us up and grow us. That the fruit of the Spirit they're in us, but
yes,
they have to be shaped and they have to be formed and brought out of us. And so if the flesh desires what it wants to do, curse, fight, talk about, backbite, total opposite of what Scripture or with what the character of God wants us to do, we call that the flesh, then we're going to satisfy the flesh. But the more that we draw into God through His Word, yielding the Holy Spirit, who should be lording our lives, sitting on the throne of our heart, then we yield him, we take heed, we submit to the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will grow us, shape us, mold us, that the fruit of the Spirit would come out and through us, that it would be the beauty of our character, the fruit of the Spirit. So as time progresses, as we journey through our growth moments as a believer in Christ Jesus, then that would be the light that reflects or illuminates through us is the fruit of the Spirit that's found in Galatians. Love, joy, peace, kindness, gentleness, self-control, patience.
Yes.
And so the potty mouth becomes a pleasing mouth. So a bad attitude becomes an attitude of joy. And when we have a mindset that always goes to the garbage can, then that needs to be turned around, transformed by the renewing of our mind. How? Through the Word of God, that the Holy Spirit will convict us, that change will take place in our mindset. And from the mind, it filters down through the heart and then through the instruments of our body, such as the hand, our walk, the smile on a face instead of the frown, the how are you doing instead of what do you want. All of that starts taking shape, and we start looking more like God as far as that's concerned, His character, more like Christ, the character, the fruit of the Spirit. And so, yes, this is the importance of the body of Christ to show the world, a dead world, a sin-sick world, a dark place where we are right now in this world, how Christ wants us to live out a life that exemplifies His character, so that those who are in dark places would want to come into the ark of Jesus Christ. And that, of course, is through salvation. And you know, Minister Lakeisha, I think this is a beautiful time to stop, drop, and pray right now. Because, again, as we deliver these teaching series, we can't assume that every person that listens to this broadcast all across the World Wide Web And we have people who listen to Mission from the Heart in other countries. And so we can't assume that the listeners that listen are saved, that they are a believer in Christ Jesus. So if you would pray a prayer of salvation. Now, keep in mind, although it's Minister Letitia's words, it's your heart and your whole heart that you are bringing to the Lord in prayer, and that you hunger for a changed life, that you would come into the ark of salvation. So, Lakeisha, if you could pray, and brothers and sisters, as you listen and as you would partner with us, touch and agree with us that somebody listening to this broadcast would come to be saved in the pardoning of their sin. And for that one in your circle of influence, call them out by name. Lift their name up to Jesus and pray with us that they someday would come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Don't forget to do that, brothers and sisters. There is somebody that you know that needs to know a Savior. And so lift him or her or them up. It might be your son. It might be your daughter. It might be your husband or wife. So, Lakeisha, if you could pray, and as we touch and agree as brothers and sisters in Christ, and for you who want to know Jesus, if you would just humble yourself before him as we go to the throne of grace, praying a prayer of salvation. So,
yes. Father, thank you for your words. God, we come to you right now asking that you forgive us all for all our sins of knowingly sins and our unknowingly sins. God, and we ask you, God, to not just touch your people, God, but come into their life, God. Renew their spirit, God, in the name of Jesus. So we come asking that you just bless us right now in the name of Jesus. So we confess today, God, that you are Lord. You are our Christ. We know that you died on the cross for our sins. We know that you were buried for our sins, God, and you yet was raised from the dead. And, Father, I believe that you died on the cross. I believe that you were buried. I believe that you are coming back again. And I believe that you have forgiven me for all our sins in Jesus' name. And we thank you. We thank you that you accept us just the way we are. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, God, no matter we're not too low, we're not too high, that you come, you meet us right where we are, and we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. So thank you, brothers and sisters, for praying with us as we lifted up those that you may have called out by name, and for those who are listening, welcome. Praise the Lord. You have accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Now we encourage you to get into a Bible teaching church, a church that believes and that teaches you about Jesus Christ, more about Jesus Christ. And we encourage you to be baptized by submersion of water, that when you rise up, that you are letting the world know that I am saved and I am a Christ follower. And I tell you, it is just a beautiful experience and a beautiful way to know that you are heaven bound. And I encourage you to get in a small group Bible study, a Sunday school class, or a small group that you can be discipled, that you can grow and go in grace, and that you would be able to tell somebody about a man named Jesus that you gave your heart and your life too. So amen, and welcome to the body of Christ. So Minister Lakeisha, we can move on with our lesson.
Okay. I have that step four in the five steps to renew your mind. And step four is rest in the truth that you are accepted in Jesus Christ. Amen. Can you believe that? We just got through praying this prayer of salvation, and now God wants you to rest in the truth that you accepted in him. And we can read a scripture, 1 Peter 1:5. 1 Peter 1:5. And it says, you have faith in God, amen, whose power will protect you until the last day. Then he will save you, just as he has always planned to do. Amen. So you have faith in God now that he will protect you. His power will protect you until your last day. And we know that you're already saved. You just confessed Christ, so we praise God for that. Amen. Now if we can turn to Romans 8, 16 through 17, and talking about resting in the truth that you have, that you are accepted in Jesus Christ. Amen. God's Spirit makes us sure that we are his children. His Spirit lets us know that together with Christ we will be given what God has promised. We will also share in the glory of Christ because he has suffered, because we have suffered with him. Amen. And then step five is just repeat steps 1 through 4 daily. Those are five steps to renewing your mind. Ask the Lord to guard and direct your mind, Romans 12:2. Recognize the source of self-focus and self-defeating thoughts. Replace the self-focused thinking with a God-focused mindset, which was Colossians 3:1-2, Romans 8:5, and Philippians 4:8. And then you rest in the truth that you are accepted in Jesus Christ, which was 1 Peter 1:5 and Romans 8:16-17. And then you repeat those 4 steps, 1 through 4 daily. Those are the 5 steps to renewing your mind. Now we have a couple of more scriptures we can look at in 1 Peter 13-16. 1 Peter. Talking about renewing a renewed mind. And it says, be alert and think straight. Put all your hope in how kind God will be to you when Jesus appears. Behave like obedient children. Don't let your lives be controlled by your desires as they used to be. Always live as God's holy people should, because God is the one who chose you and he is holy. That's why the scriptures say, I am holy, and you must be holy too. Then verse 24 says, humans wither like grass, and their glory fades like wildflowers. Grass dries up, and flowers fall to the ground. But what the Lord has said will stand forever. Do you have do you want to read your version of 1 Peter 1:13-16 and verse 24?
Sure. Starting at which verse?
Verse 13 through 16, and then drop down to 24.
All right. 1 Peter.
1 Peter 1.
Okay, verse 13. Therefore, prepare your mind for action. Be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance, but just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy.
Amen.
So go down to verse
24.
And it reads this way. For all men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of God stands forever.
Amen.
And this is the word that was preached to you.
Yes. And this is just the topic of these scriptures is chosen to live a holy life, and God has chosen you to live a holy life just because he is holy. So we see that after you confess Christ, that God, now God's Spirit lives in you. So you have what you would call, you will be prompted to have a conviction. If something from your old self or your old life, if you're faced with, usually you have the Holy Spirit to bring a conviction. How can I explain it? You won't be so quick to do something that you used to do, because you'll feel convicted or you'll feel bad about it. You have a second thoughts about it. Do you have a different way of explaining conviction, Sister Smith?
Well, as we know, if we would allow the Holy Spirit to have his way and do with what he's to do what he should be doing in us, meaning if we would allow the Holy Spirit or not grieve the Holy Spirit, totally mm-hmm. disobeying with what the Holy Spirit wants us to do, showing us what to do, teaching us what to do, shaping and molding us on how we are to live. If the Holy Spirit says go right, then we are to submit to the Holy Spirit and go right, not left. So the Holy mm-hmm. Spirit convicts us of what we know we are doing contrary, opposite of what the Word of God teaches us to do. But we as humans and that old flesh that we carry around daily that we have to deny, it rages war with the Holy Spirit. The Spirit within us, the flesh and the Spirit are raging war, and so we are being shaped and molded to not satisfy the flesh's appetite, but to satisfy and hunger and thirst after the Word of God that builds us up in character, builds us up to persevere, it builds us up to humble ourselves, and it builds us up to show love toward those that we are to love. Some people are hard to love, but in our flesh,
yeah.
we won't love them. We would do totally with what we want to do. But when we are in spirit, meaning the Holy Spirit is controlling our lives because we've allowed him to, then mm-hmm. we seem to be more like Christ toward the unlovable. It becomes a little more easier as we grow in grace to love those that appear to be unlovable. But again, we have to learn to yield the Holy Spirit as brothers and sisters in Christ, as the body, to not be carnal-minded or to hunger for a backslidden lifestyle. We don't go backwards. We move forward as the body of Christ, letting the Holy Spirit have his way in our lives. He knows how to chasten us and show us how we should feel sorry for the things that we say, tell others what we may have said about them or may have said a word that may have hurt somebody's feelings. Some people can be very hard-nosed and don't really have any compassion or any sense of sensitivity toward others. And so if that type of a person may have been you, and it might very well still be, let the Holy Spirit, allow the Holy Spirit to make that change inside you, and that we can start showing forth the character of God. And, of course, we know that as to be the fruit of the Spirit.
Yes. I have another scripture. Do we have time for another scripture?
Sure, go right ahead. We can close or end with this one particular scripture.
Okay. It's 1 Peter 2, 1 through 5, and it reads, therefore, rid yourself of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Verse 2, like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. Now that you have tasted that the Lord is good, as you come to him, the living stone, rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices accepted to God through Jesus Christ. Amen. So we may not all, we as Christians may not always be accepted by men, but we're accepted by God. It says we are precious to him. So if you ever feel rejected by men, we shouldn't, we're not always going to be accepted by the world because we're different from the world. Amen. And Sister Smith, did you have anything else to add to that scripture?
No, I mean, that is spot on. We are different. Why? Because man cannot see the Holy Spirit that lives within inside us. And so they can't comprehend or don't understand why we act the way that we do, why we speak in a manner that we do, why we show love, why we give mercy, you know. It's hard for the world to understand that. And it's hard because they choose to reject Christ. They choose to reject salvation. And for those of us who've accepted the gift of God, Jesus Christ, through salvation, then this is our petition. This is our call. We've been chosen to go out and spread the gospel of Jesus Christ, that others would see the need to grab a hold of Jesus's, if you will, like the woman with the issue of blood. All she wanted to do was press her way, and she touched the hem of his garment.
Yes.
We call, petition to others to accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior. This is the purpose of this ministry. This is our call. We have been chosen by God to do this, that others would have a right to the tree of life, and we know that to be Jesus Christ. And so, as living stones, as chosen people of God, that we continue to spiritually crave the milk and meat of the word, that we move from milk on to meat, that others will come to see their sins as sin and confess Jesus as Savior. This is the call of the body of Christ, to minister the word of God. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. So this is the lesson, a set apart life surrounded by sin. And of course the question was asked, what are you willing to sacrifice to live holy? Mm. Are you willing to sacrifice a lifestyle that is contrary? Living with someone that's not your husband, or living with someone that's not your wife, and choosing that as a way of life. That is not the lifestyle that God wants us to maintain. And so as we've read through all of these rich scriptures, literally telling us, showing us that we are not to be envious, we are not to be slanderers. We are not to be, to demonstrate malice, backbiting, backstabbing, gossips, liars. These types of lifestyles will not allow you to enter into the kingdom of heaven. No. And it says that again in Revelation. So I thank the Lord for Sister Lakeisha, Minister Lakeisha, in bringing this beautiful, rich lesson, a set-apart life surrounded by sin. And as we live in this world, we're just passing through, saints. We're just passing through. And as we sojourn in this barren land, God's calling each and every one of us to a higher standard. And that is to live holy, yes, set apart from this world, but we are to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ and to the very ends of the earth. So, Minister Lakeisha, is there some closing remarks that you wanted to make mention of as we, I hate to let go of this lesson, but I know that we have to, because our time is drawn near. And is there anything that you wanted to leave with those who are listening as we draw this lesson to a close?
It could be the last scripture, 2 Corinthians 3 and 18. And it reads, "And we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit." Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And that is a beautiful verse to leave with you concerning this lesson, a set-apart life surrounded by sin. We exemplify the glory of God through his character, the fruit of the Spirit, that we would grow richly in his grace and lead somebody in your circle of influence to Jesus Christ, that they too may have a right to the tree of life. Always remember that the grass wither as we've read, and the flowers, oh yes, they do fade away, but as we've read in 1 Peter, the word of God will remain forever and ever and ever. God bless you, brothers and sisters in Christ.